You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 18 November. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, we'll be chatting that horror Woolies update and local inflation out yesterday. When that CSARB keep rates unchanged later today, we'll dig into that. And results from Spa and Indaloo Place. Spa, not bad, but that Poland continues to hurt them a lot. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Developing nations will need $4 trillion for renewable energy transition. This according to the OECD. It's going to cost a lot. South Africa got $8.5 billion. It seemed like a chunk, but there's a long way to go. Business day, Rand trades near 10-month low before the rate announcement this afternoon. Local currency, weakest level since January. It's under strain. EM currencies are all under strain, in particular Turkish lira under a lot of pressure. Morning markets, the US was red. We got the S&P off 0.25%. NASDAQ, a few points down, 0.01%. So hard, unchanged. In Asia, mixed. Sydney up 0.1%. Turkey down 0.8%. Commodities, red overnight. Gold, 1868. Brent below 80 at 79.77 a barrel. And palladium, $2,200 per ounce. Rand, 15.47. Top 40 opening call, 340 points to the red. That's 0.55% down as Tencent trades off 2.5% during Hong Kong lunch.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Carmen Mepawani, Portfolio Manager, Absa Asset Management. Carmen, appreciate the early morning. Next touch off on that inflation data yesterday, unchanged at 5%. Not a terrible number. Food a bit tough, electricity, petrol, the big ones there. I suppose, is 5% enough to see the MPC stay their hand later today, or are we likely to see an increase in our local prime rate?
Morning, Simon. No, you're spot on there. And I think that's one of the key things that is sort of confusing analysts out there is which way are we going to go today? Mm-hmm. The inflation numbers, as you mentioned, flat at 5%. So remains within that target band of 3-6%. And looking at the economy itself, we're seeing it still remains very fragile. So the question is, does the SARB go out and give an indication that, look, we are going to go up 25 bps today, but in a very measured and slow pace to indicate the beginning of the increase? Or do we sit out until early next year? At the moment, consensus looks to be 50-50, but as you've mentioned, it's the fuel price that's being one of the tailwinds in terms of what's happening with inflation at the moment.
Yeah, and certainly Brent is coming to the party. It's lower, but of course the Rand is not. Woolies update yesterday, frankly, a bit of a horror update. Tough Spa results. If we then throw ShopRite into the picture, they had an update earlier in the week. It really looks like ShopRite is eating everybody else's lunch.
No, completely. I mean, in ShopRite's update, they would definitely mention that there is market share gain number one. But even if you just look at the supermarket's SA ShopRite division or segment, that was up over 9%. And if you compare that to Woolworths Food, that was up only 3.2%. So that gives an indication of how far or how big the disparity is between the two. If we add in Spa as well, that came out yesterday as well, also weaker numbers. Their top line only looking touching at 3% as well. So ShopRite definitely seems to have the winning formula at the moment.
And for Woolies, it's tough because for a long time, food has been their sort of golden standard. Clothing's been struggling. Australia's a bit of a disaster. With respect to them, they've also had some very hard lockdowns in Sydney, which has made things harder. But even food was under pressure and clothing kind of picked up. But if Woolies starts to lose that golden food, then things get really tough.
Well, it really depends on, you know, you've got to remember that they've got someone new in charge of their fashion, beauty, and home. So let's allow him the opportunity to show what he's able to do. So we saw that the fashion and beauty was up 7.4%, and they are focusing on space reduction. So I think at this point for them, it's not necessarily top line, and we're seeing that in terms of the promotional activity on the food side as well. But they're more focused on cash generation, number one, so containing costs across the division. As you've mentioned, they've certainly struggled in Australia, but they have managed to pull together and re-strategize in Australia. The lockdown has negated all of that. And then we've also seen in Australia no government support, no rental relief in this period. So all of the things have come together, unfortunately, in this one period. And it seems to have sort of got them at the worst part.
Yeah, and I take that, a litany of excuses, but with respect to Woolies, the excuses are valid. I mean, it has been a very, very tough period. And the focus on cash, I'm never going to argue with that. That's Carmen Meporani, Portfolio Manager, Asset Management. Appreciate the time. And that's our poll today. We're asking you on our Twitter and LinkedIn. There's trading updates, results, ShopRite, Woolies, Spar. ShopRite's definitely getting some market share over the other two. Which is your preferred? ShopRite, Woolies for the chuckles, Spar for you, or perhaps an independent grocer. Have your say, have your vote on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Brett Botten. He is Spar CEO. Results to year end September, turnover up 2.9%, diluted HEPS up 5.5%, dividend R8.16, 102 new stores. Brett, appreciate the early morning time. Let's start offshore. Ireland and Swiss operations really delivering strong. My question on Ireland, this is the full year for September. So in the early part was Brexit. Was there any impact, or did Brexit pass mostly sort of unnoticed in a sense?
Morning, Simon. It's good to chat to you. Brexit for us in Ireland obviously was an issue, but our management team, we have a very strong team in place in Ireland, experienced team, and they planned well with together with their suppliers. So really limited disruption to the supply chain in Ireland as a result of Brexit.
Okay, so really it was just a logistics process, and if you got that working, everything is fine. Spar Switzerland been doing great. It's now 386 stores, and Switzerland, to my sense, is probably about the size of Gauteng in terms of a population. How significant a player is Spar in the Swiss market, which I know from speaking to your predecessor, Germans will pop over the border to shop in Spar. It's a bit of a weird concept, but to them it's all the same place, really.
Yeah, look, Switzerland has been a really great story for us because we struggled there initially when we went when we bought the business. But once we had we sent across a couple of South Africans, and once we started to get going in terms of the store upgrades and the introduction of some of our concepts that we have, like some food to go, meat, coffee, and prepared foods, we really started to get some traction. Obviously, then when COVID hit us and the lockdown came, and people were forced to shop close to home, they experienced what we had to offer. And once the borders opened up, because they have opened up now, we managed to hang on to a fair number of our consumers, which has been obviously very exciting for us. It's not a, as you say, it's a small territory, but we really are a strong player in the convenience market. So, you know, we're not trying to compete with the big discounters or the big corporate outfits. But we certainly have a very strong presence in the convenience market, and we're fast developing a great reputation for being a forecourt, a fuel forecourt partner of choice. We we integrated 60-odd stores, SSR gear, with half of them being converted to Spar Express as we speak, and the other half will be converted during the course of 2022. So really a strong presence on fuel forecourts.
Because you mentioned in the results that you're seeing changing consumer behavior, and I'd assume that was what we see from a lot of folks, less trips, bigger trips to the supermarket and the like. But actually some of that is, as you say, someone trying your brand just because of convenience or because of lockdown restrictions and actually quite liking it. We certainly have seen a significant shift in how consumers shop, and you're saying that some of it is sticky and actually probably going to survive post-pandemic.
For sure. So we saw that in both Ireland and in Switzerland. So Ireland, we have a strong presence, and that's where we really did well through the lockdown. So we have a strong presence in the neighbourhoods through our Eurospa and spa offerings. Obviously, Dublin city centre, we have a strong presence of spa there, but that city was decimated through COVID, and we lost a lot of business in the city itself. And then obviously also through our food service and cash and carry channels. But because we were able to sort of pick up business in the neighborhoods, they delivered another strong performance, as you said. And remember, that was on the back of an incredible performance last year. So really, over the last 2 years, our Irish business has really come through for us.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I reiterate again, this is a year into September. So you've had two waves of COVID. And of course, locally, we had the July riots in KZN and a little bit in Gauteng. It's been a year of fire. But Poland is the dark spot. I mean, Poland is still struggling. You bought a bankruptcy, I think, was it 3 years ago? Do you have an insight that it's going to get to where you need it to be? How long is it going to take?
Yeah, Simon, Poland has been very disappointing for us. Although, having said that, I was there with our CFO, Mark Godfrey, for just under a week in late October. Mm-hmm. And we visited all of our distribution centers and some stores and our central office. And I must say that, you know, what we've managed to accomplish there, despite the challenges, and you rightly pick up on the bankruptcy, or they call it the sanitation proceedings, that was the Petra and Pavel business that we bought. We also had a massive legal wrangle with a previous license holder, the spa license holder, which covered the south of the country. So we were only really able to get going in that business. And then COVID hit us, you know. So we've been really challenged. But having said that, to see what we have developed and built on the ground is really exciting for us. But if it doesn't translate into numbers, well, you know, we need to do much more work there. So while we were there, we took two really key decisions. The one is around the contractual arrangement that we have with the existing spa retailers in the south. They're the ones that we've managed to grow the support from zero to just under, just about 27%. As at year end, but it's not enough through our system. Or through, when I say that, I'm talking about the purchases that come through our system. So we're going to be terminating those contracts and getting those retailers to sign new contracts with us, which will reward support. So that's how it's going to work for us. We anticipate we might lose some of those retailers, mm-hmm. but having said that, if that has to be, how it must be, then so be it. We also then we're really well poised now to go out and recruit new retailers. So we're targeting an increase of 30% in our store base in Poland. The second decision we've taken is just to rationalize our distribution center and transport operations, because we've got three DCs, one in Cielecz, one in Koninko, which is Poznan, and then one just outside Warsaw. And the Warsaw one we're going to close. We're just traveling too many kilometers with fresh produce and the like, and it's just not cost effective for us. So we're going to close that facility and move the products down to Cielecz in the south, rationalize, and we will then as a result be able to reduce the cost of our logistics. So those are two key decisions, and we look forward to really starting to turn that business around now in 2022.
We'll leave that there. That's Brett Barton, Spar CEO, talking results to end September. Appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
chatting with Indie Duplace CEO Carlo De Witt. Results for also year end September, revenue off 6.6%, HEPS up 215%, NAV R7.09. That is the stock closed at R3.20 yesterday. Carlo, appreciate the time this morning. Residential vacancies are at 12.8%. I was digging into it. I got to say, I thought you had a lot more sort of student accommodation, but actually it would look like it's majority, it's complexes, it's gated communities, it's some inner city buildings. You've got student, but it's not perhaps as big as many think it is.
Morning, Simon. Yeah, the student portfolio is a smaller part. It's about, I think it's about 12% of our revenue. So it's not an insignificant portion of our portfolio, but it's not the, you know, we want to focus on housing working families, the normal flats. We've got about a third of our portfolio in the city of Johannesburg. The rest is spread around the suburbs in and around Johannesburg. We've got a big building in Malahleni. It's actually doing very well. So it's a diverse portfolio, but yeah, the students are an important part, but not the biggest part of our business.
Yeah, and I take the point. I mean, I was looking at the boardings, a lot of the boardings, there's bachelor and the like, but a lot of two-bedroom, a lot of three-bedroom, as you talk around, sort of that family rather than the individual and the like. It also looks like you provided less rental relief during the period. Is that part of what pushes vacancies a little bit higher? I imagine there's a lot of moving parts here, but perhaps less rental relief was a negative impact, particularly in the residential.
Look, I think there's a lot of factors that play into it. I think the rent relief, we've worked quite extensively with a lot of our tenants, to try and assist where we can, especially last year. Maybe this year was sort of a, people were starting to recover a little bit, but not, the rent relief really came in last year. This year was a little bit less of an issue. There was, if you're talking about that, there's probably a part of that is the ability to increase rentals, which I think we, across the whole portfolio, we probably only increase rentals by less than 1%. So we kept rentals flat. Gotcha. But that's also indicative of the very competitive rental market out there. Mm-hmm. This vacancy figure that we're talking about is, it's the worst I've ever seen in my life, in my whole career. It's really bad out there. What we've done is we've created an internal property management business. So we've taken over the management of all of the operations in a very short time. It's actually a very big project, and we're quite proud that we managed to keep things stable during that whole process. But, this sort of 12.5% vacancy rate is definitely not where we want to be, and we're going to work very hard to improve that.
The property management, as you say, you've internalized it. That, I imagine, is going to give you two benefits. One, a cost saving, but also potentially more efficiencies within the business.
Yes, the main reason why we've done it is to be closer to our tenants. The outsourced model can work with the right partners, and a lot of the guys that we used actually did a very good job for us, but I think we've outgrown that model. And maybe as part of COVID, the lessons out of COVID, but I think we just need to be closer to our tenants, closer to our buildings, and we should be able to offer a better service at hopefully slightly better cost. Yeah.
A quick last question: retail vacancies much improved, 7.1 versus 12.3. There was a decrease in the space available. Chatting with other properties and with retail experts, the retailers are usually, no disrespect to anybody, they're the smartest of the bunch. They've got real time information in terms of shopping habits and the like. If they're starting to sort of return, it's a bit of a green shoot.
Yes, it shows something. Our retail portfolio is a little bit different. We're talking about inner city, street front shopping, that sort of small space that's was actually really hit hard during COVID. So I think those people are all coming back. That's always been very stable, very, very good tenants and collections, everything. Very good in that small port. But it's a very small part of our portfolio. It's really not our focus. Our focus is residential.
The retail is kind of, you've got the building, you've got that street level, you use it for the retail. We'll leave it there. Carlo De Witt, CEO, Indie Duplace, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. Chatting with Viv Govender yesterday about Federal Reserve James Bullard, who had gone all hawkish on us and said rates in the second quarter. Viv wasn't so sure about that. The question I put to you on our LinkedIn and Twitter poll was, do you think US will raise rates by mid-2022? Half of you said yes, and that it'll hurt markets. A little under a third said yes, but markets will be fine. And a fifth of you were saying, nope, it'll be later in the year or perhaps in 2023. I got to say, I'm in that fifth. I think rates in the US probably towards the end of 2022. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Nicole, Eddie, Nabukle, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.